Now, I don't know what he did that caused him to burn this note, but I can't view that as a correct autopsy.
Is that a fact?
Of course it is. It's admitted in the warrant report. Now, let me go to something else. Let me show you, with a few examples, the technique that the federal government used to distort and conceal evidence. For example, one of the...
Now, again, when you say, let me show you methods, I didn't interrupt.
Yes. Well,
when you make a statement that let me show you methods that the federal government used to distort, that is not a fact, is it? Is this what your opinion is, or the way you think it happened?
Now, you understand that I'm a human being, and it's very difficult for any human being, including a scientist, to speak with total objectivity. So, when I say, let me show you some examples of how distortion was accomplished, obviously, these are examples about how I think it was accomplished.
All right.
You may or may not agree.
All right, that's okay. What I wanted to make clear.
All right. Now, if you look in the Warren Commission report, especially in the exhibits, you will see Julia Ann Mercer's statement. Here's an affidavit sworn to, and it's looking on the statement that indicates the Sheriff's Department, County of Dallas. And the fact, as it's described in the Warren Commission, indicates that Julia Ann Mercer, an hour or so before the assassination, was proceeding by the grassy knoll when she was stopped by traffic, and she happened to be next to a truck. A young man was getting out with a rifle, and she was stopped where she had to look inside and see the driver. Now, the Warren Commission exhibits indicate to you that she could not see the driver clearly and that this truck had air conditioning written on the side. Actually, in spite of the fact that this young lady saw a man getting out of the grassy knoll with a rifle, she was never called to the Warren Commission. They didn't throw anybody who had evidence that conflicted with Oswald to the lone assassin.
Is this man of it again?
Okay. In her affidavit, she says, on the driver's side of the truck, there were printed letters in black, oval shape, which said air conditioning. She said, I could not see the driver too clearly. And then it has her signature here, and then it's certified to by Indoor Republic.
Mm-hmm.
When I showed this to Julia Ann Mercer, she stated this. The signatures on this affidavit are not mine, but are very good imitation, except that the capital A is not close. Incidentally, this is published in the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Decker Exhibit 5323. I did not sign anything of this kind, and furthermore, there was no woman present at any time when I was questioned. It is not true that the truck had air conditioning printed on the side. I repeatedly stated that there was no printing on the side. I did not say that I could not see the driver too clearly. The fact is that I looked right in his face, and he looked at me twice. This is why I was able to recognize him when I later saw him shoot Oswald on television. In other words, she was stating immediately that she recognized the driver of the truck from which the man got up with a rifle as Jack Ruby. As a matter of fact, she stated, and her signature is right here, that within 24 hours after the assassination, the Federal Bureau of Investigation was showing her pictures, which included Jack Ruby, and they omitted this from her printed statement. Here's the FBI statement. On the driver's door, the words air conditioning were printed in black letters, and then it goes on to state that she saw the driver, but it doesn't give his name. In the separate FBI report, it says she could not identify Jack Ruby's picture. Her answer is this. Four pictures were selected by me as a driver of the truck. One of them was Jack Ruby. I remember seeing his name on the back of the picture when they turned it over. I again recognized Jack Ruby when I saw him shoot Oswald, and I said to my family, who were watching TV with me, that was the man I saw in the truck. And she also wrote here, it was November 23rd, the day before Ruby shot Oswald, when I picked out the picture of Jack Ruby. In other words, she was shown Jack Ruby's picture with his name on the back within 24 hours after the assassination, more than 24 hours before Oswald was shot, and there's not a hint of this in the 26th progress. This
is that Mrs. Mercer's statement?
Yes.
But it is not.
The writing is a true statement, The printing is a false statement.
Are you saying by that that somebody changed that testimony?
Of course.
What possible reason would they change it?
Well, I think you'd have to talk to the sheriff's office, Johnny, and also to the FBI. The young lady told me, and I have a signature here, that she never said this.
Wasn't that in June at that time? This is the same Mercer I assume that Mark Wayne also interrogated to put his gunman on the grassy knoll.
No. No, I don't think anybody talked to Julia Mercer because she was threatened and left very early.
Well, in the
I think you think of someone else. I think
Didn't Mark Wayne talk to Mrs. Mercer about an air conditioning truck in which she said the first disabled was he took a toolbox out and then later it became a gun case? And according to testimony that I've read, the Warren Commission later checked and found that the air conditioning truck belonged to a firm that was doing work on a building nearby.
Julia Mercer never said at any time that there was air conditioning on the side of the truck that was put in because later on it was not her statement. She has said here within the last several weeks and signed her name that this is not true. It's a false affidavit. Her name was forged. And it was Jack Ruby driving the truck.
Isn't also Mrs. Mercer's statement one of 60 odd also statements, depositions taken by the FBI, by other people who saw at one time or another there, people carrying guns, riding various cars, and that were also taken by the FBI?
I don't know about all that. Look, let's don't get away from the point.
But let's put it in context.
No, put it in any context. The point is, this lady saw Jack Ruby driving a truck.
She says she did.
She says she did.
That doesn't make it a fact, does it? What kind of this thing? I don't mean to sound like an interrogator. I'm only asking questions I don't understand. What time was this supposed to take place?
About an hour before the assassination. But look,
but at that time, Jack Ruby was in the office of the Dallas Times.
How do you know? How long was he there?
Well, he was there between 11 and 11:30, placing an ad for Master of Ceremonies for his club.
Aren't you aware that there was a space gap between the two newspapers when he went from one to the other, a 20-minute space gap, and they don't know where it was?
But you're going to put him in a truck.
No, I'm not going to put him anywhere. The point is, she was there.
Does that not implicate the Dallas police?
I think you would like pictures better.
No, but doesn't that implicate the Dallas police?
They're implicated. How do you think they did it?
Well, I don't know. Have you taken anybody to court? How can you accuse the Dallas police of being involved?
All right, just one question at a time.
I didn't mean to.
An advertisement again?
Not an attorney.
Okay.
We got to have some money to keep this thing going. All right, Jim, we're back now.
Let me just make this one point. You said that the cases aren't coming up. Let me answer by saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Nobody else has charged anybody. We've made three charges. One man has been convicted. We're trying to get the other man to trial. He postponed the case for 6 months. Yes, related to the case. And a third man is fighting extradition. We're going as fast as we can, John, with five men. Remember, it took 6,000 men to do nothing. We're moving with five. If it's a little bit slow, I apologize.
You mentioned at the end of your Playboy article in relation to that, if it takes me 30 years, I'm going to bring these men to justice. That doesn't sound like you've got a very strong case. Couldn't this go on forever? When is somebody going to get this into court and either prove it or not prove it?
Let me answer by saying we set the case for trial last fall, and the defendant moved for a 6-month continuance. I think you could get your answer better by contacting the defense lawyers. We're trying to get it to trial.
No, I'm glad.
Now let me read to you an affidavit, which will indicate to you the technique the federal government used in this investigation. This is an affidavit sworn to by Mark Lane, who is not only a distinguished author, but is working for me as an investigator for nothing and helping me. Mark Lane has sworn before a notary that in January 1968, he interviewed William S. Walter in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mr. Walter informed me and Annalise Lane that he had been employed by the FBI during 1963. He said that he was a security clerk and was assigned to the New Orleans office of the FBI. Walter said that during the morning of November 17, 1963, he received a TWX message directed to all southern regional offices of the FBI. The message advised that an attempt to assassinate President Kennedy would be made in Dallas on November 22, 1963. Walter stated that as he was alone on duty on the midnight to 8 a.m. shift, he immediately called the special agent in charge of New Orleans office, Mr. Maynard, and informed him of the contents of the message. He was then informed to call a number of FBI agents in New Orleans who maintained contact with various informants. Walter also told me that an FBI directive ordered the New Orleans office to direct the various agents who had conducted interviews regarding the assassination of President Kennedy to examine those interview reports to make sure that there were no conflicts contained within them. The agents were ordered to resolve the conflicts, prepare new reports, and to destroy the old ones. Another example.
What does all of that mean?
It means whatever you choose to have it mean. Again, if you ask me...
If somebody's saying something, did that actually happen, or... I mean, you said that Mark Twain said that a man told him, but did it actually happen?
If you fly down to New Orleans, I can show you these people talking, but you just invited one person up here. I'm telling you what they said. Each time I tell you, you say, is that a fact? All I can say is that it appears to me to be a fact. If you want to reject it, you can. But let me show you some pictures, and if you want to reject these, go ahead. In the 26th volume...
You're not on trial, Jim. I'm just asking. Really, I've...
Yeah, but I'm afraid another advertisement may be coming up.
You're right about that, too.
In the 26 volumes, there is no reference to any serious sort of arrest. There are a couple of references to short dialogues, and then the indication is that the man wasn't of any value or any importance at all. Actually, at Dealey Plaza, there were 10 men arrested, and this has been kept secret for more than 4 years. Here are the pictures of 5 of them being arrested, and they've never been shown before.
Well, I don't know.
Several of these men arrested have been connected by our office with the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States government. The probability is that this is why Officer Diffitt was killed. Is this speculation? Positively, and I want to identify it as that. But the probability appears to be that the killing of Diffitt was a diversion which allowed them to turn loose these 10 men. Here's some more. And here's another. But why aren't they mentioned? Why aren't they mentioned? They're not
mentioned. But you say speculation and a probability. Who's suppressing all of this information? Now, whose order?
I'll tell you who's suppressing it. The federal government is suppressing it.
Who in the federal government?
The administration of your government is suppressing it because they know that the Central Intelligence Agency...
And whose order?
On the order of the President of the United States. Who do you think issued? Let me finish now. Before the advertisement. The executive order, which forbids every person in this audience and every person listening to this program, which forbids them to look at this evidence until September in the year 2039, was issued by the President of the United States. Does that answer your question? He's suppressing it.
For what possible reason?
Why don't you ask him, John?
I think he would say because, first of all, Mr. Garrison has come up with no credible evidence to support any of his theories.
Well, let me reply to that I am not allowed as an attorney to come up with evidence until the case comes. Why don't they just let me fall on my face?
Are you willing to say tonight, when your trial comes up, that you'll secure a conviction without the shadow of a doubt?
I cannot make a statement which would reflect on Mr. Shaw. Since the day I We charged him and arrested him. I have not made a statement which infers that he's guilty, and I cannot infer that now. But I am trying to tell you that there is no question as a result of our investigation that an element of the Central Intelligence Agency of our country killed John Kennedy, and that the present administration is concealing the facts. There is no question about it at all.
That is your opinion.
No, it is not. I know it, and if you will just wait, you will see that history will support this as fact.
Okay. Jim, I really don't know where to go on this. But we could pursue this, I suppose, for hours and hours. We've been out here almost an hour tonight. And I have to say, as a layman, I am still quite confused. I don't understand it. You say this will come to trial eventually, but it could be years, could it not?
Now, as far as we're concerned, we're pushing for trial now. There won't be any continuances asked for by my office.
Okay, I ask you another question, and then the evidence against the commission, which you had nothing to do with and refuse, I guess, almost in total, outside of the Ruby Field Hospital. But in lieu of that evidence, which you say, I think you said was a fairy tale, if I'm quoting you right.
That's conservative.
All right. You are asking us and the American public to believe that a team of seven gunmen carried this out with precision, firing from various points that day in Dallas, which is a remarkable feat in itself, and it disappeared into thin air with no witnesses who ever saw any other gunmen or getaway vehicles, and a gigantic conspiracy in which nobody seems to yet prove anything. You ask us to believe that. I find that a much larger fairy tale than to accept the findings of the Woman Report.
Let me reply to you by saying, first of all, that these men did not disappear into thin air. A number of them were arrested, and I just showed you pictures of them being arrested. I presume you accept that as a fact. You can see them in the pictures.
No, sir, I don't accept that as a fact. I don't know who those men are, and I don't know for what reason they were arrested. And how can you say that the assassins were arrested and then turned loose? Is that the same?
Some of them were arrested, yes. Now, let me go on.
And then were subsequently turned loose.
They were turned loose later in the afternoon. Now, yes, let me go to the second point. The second point is to point out again the fact that you've seen no evidence and the matter doesn't seem to come to trial. We are pushing for trial, and there's nothing more we can do than try to get the case to trial. Let me sum it up by saying, am I asking the people of America to believe this? I'm doing more than that. I'm trying to tell the people of America that the honor of this country is at stake. And if we don't do something about this fraud, we will not survive. And there is no way to survive if we don't bring out the truth about how our president was killed 4 years ago. And the investigation by the Warren Commission wasn't even close.